This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Final hour of Grant and Danny live from the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino, where the first tournament game of the day is at halftime. Minnesota leading Louisville by 3 points in the early going, and they hit a bucket late in the half to make it 38-33 at intermission. Meanwhile, LSU up 5 over Yale in a 3-14 game, 19-14, with 11:50 to play in the first half in that round of 64 game. We got all kinds of things to keep track of, though, as we are multitasking today. Where else would you rather be than at a sportsbook live at a casino? Let's go to the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, where we find Radio.com Sports Insider Jason Lockenfora. Insider reports are brought to you by the 2019 Mercedes-Benz A-Class. Locka, what a report. We were talking about it all morning long. Yesterday, you said that the Jets are interested in that catbird seat, third pick of potentially moving back. Quarterback-needy teams could come up. And one of the teams you've been hearing is poking around is the Redskins. What can you tell us, sir?
Yeah, I mean, look, there are people in that Jets organization who think this is a very viable option and maybe the most viable option when it's all said and done, and as teams continue to evaluate these quarterbacks and as decision makers start to set their boards and get a handle on what they need and what they need to do to go about getting it, because as we know, not every player is going to fall to every team. That's not how it works. And obviously the Redskins are doing a lot of work on Haskins, and I hear there's people in that organization who are very intrigued by him. And, you know, Kyler Murray's going first overall. And he's the you know, some people like Haskins more than Murray. I mean, Murray, because of the size and everything else, isn't everybody's cup of tea, but he's Arizona's. So now Haskins is the next guy there. And whether Dave Gettleman takes him or not, he's certainly going to have to investigate the heck out of that situation and at least be in position to take him. Would he be there at six? A lot of people don't think so. So the Jets are motivated sellers. I can put it to you that way. They are not afraid to go all the way back to 15, and they feel like they can still get a relative blue-chip player to help rebuild their defense in particular all the way back in the middle of the first round. And if they can pick up additional assets this year and next year to do it, they're open to it. They're closer. I think they're closer to being a contending team than maybe, you know, a lot of the football world might think. So yeah, there's some trade potential there.
Jason, the first domino that would have to fall there, and you touched on it, is Kyler Murray going one to Arizona. There's still some mystery there. How likely do you think that is?
I don't think there's mystery there. I think the Cardinals would like for you to believe there's mystery there, but I don't. Since the combine, there isn't anybody I've talked to, including people who aren't removed from that situation, people who would absolutely know about that situation, who have told me, done deal, case closed, like, it's happening. It's been on since Kingsbury got hired there, and that's part of their master plan. That's part of why Kingsbury got hired there, because they had the first pick, and this is his guy, and that's part of the reason, you know, he's ready to make the jump, and part of the reason that they were willing to make the leap of faith bringing him in. So I and people I talk to, again, involved in that situation, and then just people around the league who are picking in the top 10 who have a vested stake in trying to discern who's going where, they're all convinced that thing is signed, sealed, delivered.
Jason Lockenfora, Grant and Danny here on 106.7 The Fan. What'd you make of the Skins' decision? Didn't have a whole lot of money. Don't have many options after what happened with Alex Smith to go get Case Keenum and to have a competition between he and Colt McCoy before whatever happens at quarterback for this team.
Yeah, I've kind of always had a little bit of a soft spot for Case Keenum. Not at $18 million a year so much, but, you know, as somebody who I don't know that I want him to get me through 17 weeks, but if I need him to get me through 6 or 8 or whatever, he can do it. And until that, you know, but because of his physical limitations and, you know, some things like that, as the sample size expands, he's going to end up turning the ball over more, you know, and he kind of reverts to who he's been, which is a journeyman. Obviously, that thing is unsettled. I mean, I don't see any scenario where, whether they do something bold for Haskins or not, that there isn't somebody else in that equation going into camp who at least has upside. I just can't, unless they're doing a covert tank, which if you're doing that, then why did you spend what you spent on a box safety? You know, if you're doing that, then just be Miami, like just be selling people off. So unless there's a covert tank involved, I think there's going to be another quarterback there. So I'm going to give that an incomplete for now. You know, given all their needs, and Landon Collins is a nice player and all that, but with this being a year where safeties were no longer a bargain like they were last year, where everybody knew coming out of the combine, and heck, I was writing about it then, this is going to be a year, this is the year to be a safety. They're going to hit, there's 5 guys who are going to hit grand slams. And he was one of them. And, I mean, if I'm paying a safety $32 million in the first 2 years, I'm giving it to Earl Thomas, not Landon Collins. I want a guy who affects the ball when it's in the air because the ball's in the air 65% of the time.
Jason Lockenfour with us here on Grant and Danny. Jason, what are you hearing just generally state of the Redskins? You mentioned if Dan Snyder falls in love, et cetera. You covered this team for a long time and you know the league at large. Just give me kind of the state of this organization. Bruce Allen with the company line that they're close, and a lot of their behavior indicates that they think they're close. Yeah. I don't personally think they're close, but they seem to. And then maybe we've heard some rumblings that maybe Jay Gruden is outside the inner sanctum. Give me what you know right now about the Skins.
That people are looking at them sort of with as quizzical as an expression as ever, and kind of trying to figure out what is the plan? Because the emperor has no clothes. I mean, that's just the reality. I mean, just look at any way you want to evaluate Bruce Allen since he's been the man there. And the buck stops with him. Nothing gets to the owner without going through him. Big decisions, small decisions aren't made without him signing off on it. He controls the budget. He controls the money. He controls Redskins football. I mean, it is what it is since he got there. Jay Gruden, yeah, he's on the hot seat. If Todd Bowles would have come in there as a defensive coordinator, that might have morphed into something even beyond a defensive coordinator. I mean, there's been a lot of stuff going on in that organization that is happening sort of behind Jay Gruden's back or maybe next to him, but certainly not right in front of his face. So it's an odd situation. There's no other way to put it. The quarterback situation, all the money that they gave Alex Smith when they didn't have to, now that's, you know, affecting their ability to do business as you would hope they could. A lot of uncertainty on that roster and where the, you know, where the strengths are. A team that seems to be in transition and an owner who, let's face it, blind loyalty will often lead the way with him and carry the day. And it has there in past regimes, and it certainly seems to be now. I mean, I don't know how you would be evaluating that organization in a way that would lead you to believe that, yeah, status quo. Like, let's just keep running it through Bruce because this is doing great. The fans are on board. The players are on board. No discord, total harmony, and great football decisions being made all over the place. Like, I don't know, you know, what parallel universe that's happening in, but it's not happening in this one.
Jason Lockenfour on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. I want to read you a quick quote from Doug Williams. I just want to get your take as a guy who's been on a beat in Washington for many years and kind of knows how things work. He was quoted this past week. Remember, he's the highest-ranking official, quote-unquote the GM, even though you know and I know he's not actually the GM. But he said, I don't do the scheme thing. When we look at players, we look at talent. It's up to the coordinator, the defensive coaches, to scheme him up. He goes on to say, we're not in the room with the scheme. I don't know exactly what the scheme is. Again, this is the de facto general manager. I'm looking for the John Dorsey quotes out of Cleveland about him not knowing their scheme. What do you make out of that?
I mean, I just feel like it's almost like, I don't want to say irrelevant, but, I mean, we know who has the jam there. You know what I mean? Like, Doug,
but isn't
that
in of itself a problem? Like, if our answer is, well, it doesn't matter because the GM is just a fake GM and he doesn't actually do anything.
No,
that's a problem,
I'm not saying
too.
He doesn't do anything. I think he does plenty, but, like, he doesn't have a voice that's going to carry the day. You know what I mean? There's two voices at the end of the day that matter, the owner and Bruce. Like, that's the reality of that organization. That it just is what it is. So you're going to have scouts and you're going to have football people and evaluators, and they're going to go through all their processes. But what, at the end of the day, what's going to carry the day? Their work or the opinions of those two other guys?
It's the latter.
Right.
Jason, always appreciate
good answer.
The time. Yeah, seriously.
Good answer.
And that, I say it with a sigh of depression.
I love the rhetorical question that you answer. It's the latter.
Just, I'm born into this. I'm doomed for a lifetime of caring about the Redskins. Jason, thank you, buddy. Always appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Bye-bye.
You got it, buddy.
Enjoy the tourney, man. Great to have you back on. That was Radio.com Sports Insider Jason Lockenfora. Insider Reports brought to you by the 2019 Mercedes-Benz A-Class. We are Grant and Danny here on 106.7 The Fan at the bottom of the hour at 1:30. Brett Connolly of the Capitals, now a member of the 20-goal club in Washington. They got six players with 20 goals this season. No other team has had six players score 20 goals, all with their organization, other than the Caps. We'll talk to Cono about that coming up at 1:30. Grant and Danny on the Fan, Maryland Belmont tipping off in a little over an hour and a half. We'll get some audio for you from the head coach of the Terps and their two most important players in just a moment. But speaking of audio, Danny, Bryce Harper was asked about Mike Trout's new contract. You know, Bryce Harper, the guy that held the record for biggest contract for all of 19 days.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll accept 13 years in Philadelphia. Yeah, I'll take no opt-outs. Sure, I'll do whatever I have to do to get to $330 million so that I can say no one's ever made more than me for less than 3 weeks. Here was Harper on the Trout contract.
I got the contract I wanted. You know, I got the length that I wanted and, you know, all the money and things like that. I got more money than, you know, I'll know what to do with it. So, you know, for me, I got the length I wanted. I got the contract that I wanted. I got the, you know, the team that I wanted and the ownership that trusted in me. For me, once I knew Trout was going to sign, it's inevitable. You know, he was going to be the highest paid player in the game in all of sports. So, you know, I'm very happy for him.
That's a great answer. And honestly, you should commend Bryce Harper for the answer because it was textbook and it was perfect. It's exactly what you would have drawn it up for him to say if you're in PR. Two things. One, there was ping pong being played.
Nobody tell Russell.
So according to Chris Russell, we can now cross the Philadelphia Phillies off the list of potential teams that could give the Nats problems.
And I picked them to win the division. How stupid do I look now? Jeez.
You look like a fool.
What an idiot.
They were playing ping pong in their clubhouse in spring training. They are cooked.
It's over before it starts.
Use the black Sharpie, people. Cross them off the list. Now the Nats only have to worry about the Mets and the Braves. And maybe if we get enough audio from those two clubhouses, we don't have to worry about those teams either because they might have ping pong tables after all.
Who knows? Shuffleboard in Atlanta?
I like the answer from Harper. I don't completely believe what he's saying in that, yes, I think he got a deal that he's very happy with. Understand that the context matters here. People say, you're acting like he got screwed. He's making $330 million. I know that he got a ton of money. It's really funny for me, who's waiting for a paycheck to pay something off or pay a bill or whatever, to talk about this guy doing a bad job.
Yeah, it's the only place we can laugh at somebody who's going to make $330 million.
But
sports.
The point is, after the Harper contract was signed so that he could be a record holder, for that record to not even last for 3 weeks before Trout completely wiped the floors with that, when he was going to get paid more. No one thought otherwise. But 1 year less, $10 million or so more per year, $100 million more overall. It's a big, big chasm, and it makes you think twofold. One, maybe Bryce could have or should have done a little bit better. And second, more importantly, I think, maybe he should have, you know, just not been as desperate for that one big bottom line number, which is almost irrelevant as of today.
It's irrelevant
when Trout signed that paper.
Yeah, it's again, I said it yesterday, and I believe this. It makes him look small because if you believe what I believe, which is all he cared about was setting that record, he had it for 18 and a half days.
And in fairness to this, by the way, if he didn't care about the record, he just happened to get it, I wouldn't feel this way. But you and I both believe, we've talked to enough people, we know behind the scenes what was important to him. And if you really think that the record was the end-all be-all, that makes this different.
If you didn't care about the record. And you just wanted to be somewhere for at least 10 years. I mean, it took, there's a reason this whole thing took months and months and months and months. And it took all the strings and all the mastery that Scott Boras has to generate a marketplace when there wasn't one. The market was saying, this isn't the case, this isn't the case. And then somehow Boras is able to get a couple ownerships involved, and he gets the Giants to give him the bid that he so desperately wanted. It wasn't there from the start. It wasn't there when the Nationals offered the offer that they've now gone on record poo-pooing, by the way, in an ESPN, the magazine piece, or whatever they wanted to leak out. They felt it necessary to then run down the Nationals, their fan base, and everybody else. Very great class act there. But to me, this always was about, we have to do this thing, otherwise it's egg on our face. We have to present this wonderful public face that, no, of course we wanted no opt-outs. We wanted no trade clause in there. We wanted to be able to be in some place for 13 years, no matter how good or bad or indifferent Philadelphia might be in that time. He lost the leverage, and the only way they were going to get to that deal was if they accepted all the terms that Philadelphia had to offer, and they're fine adding in those years to lower the average annual value to make Bryce affordable, if there is such a thing, at $330 million. So if all he cares about is that record, the record got taken less than 3 weeks later. How petty do you look? You should have gone to the Dodgers for a record amount of AAV and gone and won a World Series. Instead, you're going to Philadelphia, who has the exact same odds to win the World Series as your old team does, the Nationals, sixth or seventh best in the league, depending on your sports
book. Let's stay in Florida as we are a multitasking here. We'll go from Clearwater, where the Phillies train, to Jacksonville, where the Terps play today. And by the way, Brett Connolly's on the show in less than 10 minutes. Caps winger, who just scored his 20th goal of the season 2 games ago, helped the team get a point against the Lightning in an exhilarating matchup last night. Joined us on Grant and Danny at 1:30. But Maryland's getting ready for Belmont, 27-5, 11 seed. Obviously doesn't play a schedule, the likes of which Maryland is going to in the Big Ten when you're coming out of the Ohio Valley. But Belmont has become a sexy favorite for a lot of people on their brackets to not only maybe get past Maryland, but win a couple games in this tournament. People are forgetting that the Terps earlier this season were a formidable team in their conference. Mark Turgeon's their head coach. He's getting ready for the tournament, and he says when the tourney starts, a brand new year begins.
We've worked really hard on making this a new season, and by the way my guys have reacted, I really truly feel that way. We've been dialed in practice. Our enthusiasm level is good. The Penn State loss, really, the score might be a bad loss, but they did beat Michigan there. Also, they were a heck of a team late in the season, so we just didn't play well in the Big Ten tournament. That was a disappointing part for us. I believe in my team. I mean, this team has been through it, guys. We gave up a home game. We had 8 out of 11 on the road during a stretch in late January, early February, and we battled through it. And I believe in my team. Did we get a little bit tired? Maybe. We've been able to get refreshed and practice a lot.
One of the reasons for that belief in his team is, you know, a big man who has a chance every time he takes the floor in Bruno Fernando to give you a double-double. Averages 14 and 10, and he's a guy that struggled in the conference tournament like most of his teammates. He says it's been hard to stay positive.
I think we got to just stay positive. There is a beauty in sport, and I think it's all talking about. And, you know, there is always a next half, next shot, next game. And, you know, we got a chance to play another game here. And just us staying positive, I think our team is progressing, you know, as the game goes on and season goes on. And, you know, just like I said, being here, being selected as one of the teams to play here, you know, it's kind of an opportunity for us to really leave everything else behind us and just focus on what we got in front of us.
We had Chris Nocke on the show earlier today, who calls Maryland games and will be presiding over the matchup today in Jacksonville. And he said not Fernando, but Cowan. When asked who the most important player with the team is, Anthony Cowan Jr., wants his team to go out in a way that they didn't in the conference tournament. That's just playing their best ball. You get beat, fine, but at least play well in the process.
We just pulled it all together. I think in the beginning we were still trying to find ourselves a little bit. And then we kind of went on a little run. I think we went on like a 6 or 7 game winning streak. And then we started winning some games on the road. And I'm pretty happy about how the season turned out.
The road wins especially. I mean, that's a tough way to get it done, to have to go out from College Park and go get those wins. But you guys did that.
Definitely.
How did that work?
We definitely have a young group this year. But like I said, in the beginning, it was kind of rough. Everybody was still trying to find out their role. And then we just kind of pulled it all together.
My fault. I jumped the gun right there. I didn't know there was a follow-up. That's on me. I was going to say, Bruno Fernando's a likely top 10 pick in the draft. He got four shots against Nebraska. This should be uncomplicated. That guy should kick the snot out of whoever checks him for Belmont. I don't care if they double team him. He should have a dominant game, at least in the early rounds. Until they get up to, if they make a deep run in this tournament, they got to play Michigan State. He should be 100% better than whoever they're going up against. It's on Cowan, it's on Turgeon, it's on these guys to figure out how to get him the ball in good spots. If they're double teaming in the half court, do something else. Fernando should dominate. You cannot have him get four shots the way he did against Nebraska. He's got, you know, roughly, I would say 55% of the shot attempts that Cowan does over the course of the season. That's where your bread should be buttered. That guy's better than everybody he goes up against, including this afternoon at 3 and change. He should dominate this game. He should be a 20-10 guy without breaking a sweat against Belmont.
Brett Connolly's got 20 goals and 10-plus assists this year. He's a 20-10 guy. He is on Grant and Danny next right here on 106.7 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Grant and Danny welcoming you back to the Sportsbook Hollywood Casino, Charlestown, where we are watching the tournament. A college basketball NC2A tourney is underway. 3 games ongoing right now. We'll get you a full scoreboard in the final half hour of the show, get you up to speed on everything going on. But right now, want to get to the Mattress Warehouse hotline and to our buddy Brett Connolly, who will be on the show each and every week for the remainder of the season. We're thrilled to have him on the program, not just because he's a mensch of a guy and he's got some cool tattoos, but because he's a member of the Caps 20 Goal Club, a growing club.
Attaboy.
Cano 2 games ago gets to 20. Evgeny Kuznetsov does the trick last night. So now 6 Capitals have done it, Brett. What's it like, first time in your career, to be a 20-goal scorer?
Yeah, very nice to see that one go in. It's something every year you aim for, and it's been a great season for me personally, for the team, and just a lot of hard work, and it's good to get rewarded with a good season.
Brett Connolly on Grant and Danny, installed by FH for plumbing, heating, air conditioning. Call 877-CALL-FUR for absolutely the best service and absolutely the best price. You mentioned it's kind of a number you gun for at the beginning of the season. Is that something as a player where you have goals where you kind of jot things down or statistical benchmarks, or anecdotally do you more set goals for yourself based on process?
Yeah, I think every year you try and beat the year previous. It's kind of a thing with all of us, so especially guys who are paid to create offense. So it's good. I have had 215 goals before this year, and got a few more games here to go, but definitely good to get to that 20 goal mark for the first time. It hasn't been an easy road for me. I've had to definitely earn some things, but it's a good feeling to finally accomplish that.
Brett, I don't think the score reflected how close the game was, that first one with Tampa, and then last night was just epic, as good a hockey game as I've certainly watched this year. You guys are playing some pretty good puck, and they're obviously pretty good. That's a tough team, and they do an awful lot well, but so do you guys. How have you felt about these past couple, these matchups here a couple times in the last 4 days?
Yeah, really, I think we feel good about it. I think that belief that we can play with anyone in this league, and we know that it's good for our confidence. 7-game series in the playoffs. It's obviously we're defending champs, and we know what it takes now to win, but obviously Caps had a great regular season, and I think we threw everything we had at them. Their goalie played really well, and it was very entertaining for the fans. So it's good to know that we can play with any team on any given night, and we got a chance to win every single night. So We're a confident group here moving forward. It's getting close to that time of year again, and everyone's getting really excited for it.
It was immensely entertaining. It was an amazing few hours to take all of us out of our lives and entertain us. We appreciate it. It was good. The 2 points would have been better. We will take one. But you know what? I watched that game, and I'm thinking 5-on-5, you guys dominated. They scored one goal at even strength. It was that weird puck off Carlson's skate that was kind of a lucky bounce. They're 3-for-3 on the power play. You guys are 1-for-6 on the power play, so they went on special teams. I don't know if players think of it this way, but as a fan, I always kind of take those losses in more stride, Brett, because I feel like when all things were equal 5-on-5, you guys were the better team. You had 58 shots, and Vasilevsky made 54 saves. Do you guys think about it that way, or do you beat yourselves up a little bit for taking penalties and some of the mistakes?
I think you take both. I think you realize that they obviously have a great power play, as do we. So, we know that we need to stay out of the box against them because they have a lot of guys that can hurt you. And, there's teams, a lot of teams that are saying the same thing about our unit. So, I think we proved that we're, equally as good 5-on-5 team, if not better. So, just got to keep pushing. We're got a good team here. We're believing in ourselves, and we know we can get it done at the right time of the year. So, just looking to get into the playoffs here and really get excited for that because it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, Brett, you mentioned it. You are the defending Stanley Cup champions. You've got bigger fish to fry. I'm just a pudgy idiot fan who loves the Capitals. How much do you guys care about winning a division? I care a lot about it, mostly because I just hate the Penguins so much. But is that something that you guys are like, yeah, we're going to be in the dance. We know we've done it before. We've gone as far as you can go, only a year removed from that. How concerned are you guys with finishing atop the Metropolitan?
I think we're obviously, you want to get that accomplished just with the matchups and the home ice. It's definitely an advantage. I think we've obviously in the past, this team has set high standards with regular season results, and that's a goal everybody wants to accomplish. We know that we have the team to do it. Just a matter now of collecting as many points here in the last 8 games as we can to secure that. But I think we just need to worry about our game and the big picture and the process. Playoffs are a completely different animal, and we know that. And it's going to be a very exciting time. Hopefully we're at the top of the division. I think even if we're not, we got a good chance to make a run again. So I think we just focus on little results, little details in our game, and we do that, everything will take care of itself.
Brett Connolly on Grant and Danny, one of the 6 20-goal scorers with the Capitals. Brett, we'd be remiss if we didn't ask you about some of the big news surrounding the team this week. You guys are going to the White House to meet Donald Trump on Monday. You are the one player so far who has come out and said that you will not be joining the team at the White House. I'm curious about the conversation about the trip in the locker room and if you could shed any light into your decision not to go.
Yeah, well, it's everyone is entitled to their own opinion. Our team is extremely close. We have very good chemistry. I don't think there's anything that's going to come in between that. I'll be one of the guys that isn't going. Obviously, Smith Pelly kind of set the tone, and he's obviously not here right now, but everyone's entitled to their own opinion. I've said what I needed to say, and that's all I'll say. But again, it's I understand both sides, and in life you got to make decisions, and I made a decision, and that's how I'm going to go about it. And it'll for the guys that are going, I hope they have fun and have a good memory to last a lifetime.
Brett Connolly on Grant and Danny. Off the beaten path a bit, a little bit lighter for you. I'm curious about the Carolina Hurricanes storm surge celebrations. A lot of old hockey guard types are very angry about
so
what
mad.
They're doing.
They're so mad.
Like Don Cherry, who would be the least fun person to ever go to a party with, I think, is so angry at them. What do you think about their celebrations that they're concocting after every win at home?
I think that every organization is different, and I think the players are doing a great job embracing it. Obviously, it comes down from the ownership group and in the franchise. I think the fans are really loving it, so it's good for the game. It's good for their organization. I think hockey is a sport that's not quite there yet in terms of the outside aspect of players being a little bit more out there and a little bit extra, and in terms of a lot of different areas. It's a very simple sport and very regimented compared to other leagues. So I think there's some growth to be made in the league. I think obviously hockey players are very down-to-earth and simple people, don't like being in the media too much. Obviously there's a few exceptions, but for the most part they're pretty simple guys. So I think the league itself has a lot of room to growth in that regard, in terms of really letting personality show. I think you shouldn't be talked down to about showing your personality a little more, being a little bit more out there, like you see other leagues with guys who are kind of pushing the envelope. But it's great for the leagues, and it's just a different mindset, I think, with hockey and how it's been going on for so long and the way that things are handled. So I think it's great for their franchise. I think they're benefiting from it, and if the players are having fun with it, fans are having fun with it, if it's good for the game and it's growing their franchise financially, then there's really no issue with it. I think everyone has different opinions on so many different things in this world, and you just gotta, whether you think it's right or wrong, it really doesn't matter. You just gotta move on from it, and it works for them, might not work for you, but that's the way the world is. You gotta just sometimes keep your mouth shut and let them do their thing.
Brett, I'm with you. I just have no interest in seeing it on March 28th when you guys visit. Let's deprive them of that right to celebrate. Buddy, appreciate the time as always. Congrats on 20 goals, man, and keep rolling, pal.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Have a good day.
See you,
you bet. There's Brett Connolly of the Capitals on Grant and Danny here on 106.7 The Fan. We have a couple of teams that are starting to separate themselves with what looks like potential first wins in this tournament. We'll tell you who is up big next on The Fan. G&D stretch run here. Final few minutes. Chris Russell, Craig Hoffman take over at 2 o'clock live at the Hollywood Casino and Sportsbook. Enjoying March Madness in the NCAA tournament. Bryce Harper was hitless with the Philadelphia Phillies this spring until he stepped up to the plate in the first inning this afternoon. He now has a home run as a Philadelphia Philly. He just belted one of those textbook patented gorgeous swings, lasers down the right field line. Home run number one with Philadelphia. Let's use them all up this spring, Bryce. None at Nats Park.
About 45 of those coming this year, if I'm predicting. I don't know what his average is going to be. I know he'll walk a lot and hit a bunch of homers in a really, really good lineup in Philadelphia. Ballpark's tailor-made for him.
Good ball player, ton of power. Speaking of Bryce Harper leaving the Nats, you got a pretty cool Nats event coming up.
I want you, yes, you, to join 106.7 The Fan at Nick's Riverside Grill and Tony and Joe's in Georgetown for a baseball season preview. March 24th, that is Sunday, starting at 2 p.m. Get the scoop on the upcoming season from Danny Ruye, J.P. Flame, Dan Coco, and Charlie Slows, presented by Samuel Adams. Details at thefandc.com/events. I never know how to do that.
I love that you just went third person.
Well, because my name is there. Do I say me?
Yes.
That's not
why
what the
would
read
you read
says?
Your name?
I don't know.
Why would you ever read your name?
I'm trying to do it as it's written because I want the sponsors to be happy.
Like a live spot.
Yep.
Taped read for commercial breaks like a week ago, and you did the same thing. You're like, join me and or no, you said.
I said
join
Danny
Ruye.
That's me.
Why do you do that?
I don't know.
Just say join me. At the beginning, you would say, hey, Danny Ruye here, something like that.
Yep.
And then eventually you just say, join me.
I'm uncomfortable with the whole thing. I never know what to do.
It'll be all right. I think you got through it. Couple of scores for you from the tournament. Right now, if I picked you, you're losing. That's generally how this should work.
So far, yeah.
Minnesota is up 16 on Louisville, 59-43. 10 minutes to play in the second half. Yale is getting waxed by LSU. This was a 14-3 game. A couple people had picked Yale to pull off an upset. That's not happening. Tigers all over a inferior opponent.
Yeah,
to this
Yale
point.
Can't get a shot off in the half court, basically. Yale's just, it's adorable. It's precious. They're hustling. They'll be headed home.
Just started the second half, 45-29 there. And then New Mexico State leads Auburn. This is a 12-5 game. Of course, 12s beat 5s, it feels like, at least twice every single year. So this was a game a lot of people had penciled in. But I will say this, all of our guests, every person we've had four or five on in the last week or so talking college basketball that we've brought on has loved Auburn after the SEC tournament. But sometimes people just, it's that recency effect, man. Yeah. They forget that a team wasn't that all year long. Auburn off to an okay start. They're down 2 points, 10 minutes to go in the first.
New Mexico State looks really good. Auburn hasn't so far. They looked a little shaky, and you touched on it. I saw Auburn early this season and was really impressed. They dropped the game, I want to say, to Duke, where they looked like they belonged, and it was pretty impressive. And then they, of course, won the SEC tournament by just getting in your face and pressing and going really hard. Yeah, they lost to Duke early in the season, I think 78-72. But this group looked so good in the SEC tournament. I love them. I have them beating Kansas in almost every bracket in the next round because I don't trust this Kansas team. And, of course, Auburn is now in a dogfight with New Mexico State.
Couple of the big stories from sports today, some of the leftovers. The Saints are finalizing a deal with tight end Jared Cook. I love this fit for him. Pass-happy offense.
Are they really?
Drew Brees throwing him wide open.
Because that's what's been missing from the Saints. They just haven't had a dynamic tight end at all.
It's been a few years.
Right?
31 years old, still can run, great speed, hasn't missed a game since 2016. Last year he went for almost 900 yards, kind of a Jordan Reed-like, 68 for 896 and 6 touchdowns.
You look at that game log for him, he had a couple enormous games.
He did.
It was like a 10 for 168 kind of situation. He was a productive player.
Antonio Brown and Vontaze Burfict are now teammates. Those two guys have terrible blood from the AFC North. Brown being asked about Burfict over the last couple of days, saying there is no bad blood between them. What a wacky offseason for the Raiders. Are they in Oakland? Are they not in Oakland? Where are they going to play? When are they going to Vegas? They have 3 first-round picks. They've spent all the money. They go get Antonio Brown. They bring in Vontaze Burfict. They're fun, man. Whatever they're going to be, and it's probably not going to be that great, I think their rookie class will give them a chance to make major strides right away if they can hit on some of their picks. They didn't do that last year where they've already moved to tackle because they signed a left tackle. But that's a drama. Put them on Hard Knocks and just enjoy it.
If you're going to be crappy, that's the way to be crappy, isn't it? I mean, that's Bon Jovi singing about it. Blaze your glory. I mean, that's what they're going to be. That's going to be a sideshow.
I don't think they're going to be terrible record-wise. Like last year I said going into the season and felt all year that was 4-12. I think they'll be closer to 7, maybe even 8 wins this year, depending on what they do in the draft. They've added a lot of talent.
They have added talent.
And they don't have a coaching staff full of dummies. I mean, John Gruden, while antiquated and probably behind the eight ball at this point, has hired some quality assistants. Will Greer had a great workout reportedly today. Adam Schefter saying he got a text from a scout who was at the West Virginia Pro Day watching Greer throw, who said he's going to fly up draft boards after his performance today. I've never really known how that can happen when you're playing against the air, but the Panthers and the Redskins are two of the teams that met with Will Greer. Jay Gruden is there, so that means Jay Gruden met with Will Greer today. You and I both are okay with the idea, if you don't take a QB in the first round, of grabbing that guy in the second if he's around.
See, I've thought all along the question of the draft isn't, you know, these top 4 or 5 quarterbacks, are they going in the first round? It's do you get that Lamar Jackson? Do you get a 6th? Do you get Will Greer ending up in the first round with guys going up boards? So he is a hyper-productive college football player. Nobody debates that, right? That's because it's above debate. The questions are, does he have the arm strength? Can he do some of the things in terms of pushing it into tight windows? Can he sling it, et cetera? If he checks some of those boxes at a workout, then you go, well, wait a minute. Hyper-productive college football player now matches up with some physical traits. Color me intrigued. I'm a Greer fan. I like him more than I like Jones, than Locke, and a couple other guys there in the draft. He's my 3rd favorite quarterback here. But again, I don't know anything. I'm just a guy that watches football.
Maryland does not tip off until 3:10. Virginia and Virginia Tech play tomorrow. Of course, at 10 a.m., we'll be back at it live from the Sportsbook here at Hollywood Casino with breakdowns on all the day's games and some previews of some of the big contests of day 2 of the tournament. Chris Russell, Craig Hoffman, going to keep you company right here on The Fan, filling in for Chad on Chad Dukes versus the World next. Our game plan now is to waddle over to the sports bar, eat some buffalo wings.
Food will come.
Watch basketball.
Yes.
And then repeat that for about 7 hours.
Rinse, wash, repeat, mañana.
We're on Twitter. We'll be staring at our phones a lot. If you want to communicate with us, I'm at Grant H. Paulson.
At Funny Danny.
Thank you for listening. It means a lot. Allows us to do a pretty cool thing every day. And on days like this, one of the best jobs available. Craig, Chris, next, right here on The Fan. Thanks to Tom, Sean back in studio, Brendan Bear on site, and all the people with the hospitality provided here at Hollywood Casino. Chad Dukes versus the World is up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.